Thanks for tuning in to The 21st. I'm Jenna Dooley. Since he returned to DeKalb a decade ago, Maurice McDavid has held many titles. He's taught high school social studies and Spanish. Now he's moved on to Cortland Elementary School, where he's the assistant principal. But above all else, by returning to the DeKalb area, Maurice McDavid is hoping to make an impact on the community he grew up in. One way he's doing that is through the wraps he creates for his elementary school students. Maurice has tackled everything from proper bus etiquette to knowing when to keep your hands to yourself. He's also an assistant pastor at United Pentecostal Church of DeKalb. We first heard about McDavid on WNIJ's Teacher's Lounge podcast, where he talked about his skills in teaching and preaching. Maurice McDavid, welcome to The 21st. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you so very much for having me.
Maurice, I want to get into your background in just a minute, but I have to start with the wraps. What made you initially decide to write your first one?
You know, I grew up in the 90s and 2000s, and my older brother was a huge hip-hop fan and had his own rap group, and so I was inspired by that. I've been writing raps for as long as I can remember, honestly, and so when I had the opportunity to write something that would be hopefully inspirational to students, I wanted to jump right on that and take that opportunity.
I understand you're also known by a different name to some of your students. Where did the Mr. McDizzle moniker come from?
So that's a funny one. Actually, some of the first rap songs that I wrote were just comedy songs that I did for my eighth grade students. And there's some YouTube videos that are still out there from those. But it started with I would change my name every single day as an eighth grade teacher. And so Mr. McD and then something. So Mr. McDiablo, Mr. McDonald's, and then I'd have some type of phrase underneath it that was funny for the day. And so at one point I became Mr. McDizzle, and I put, that's my rap name, and it's kind of stuck since then.
Did writing the raps come pretty naturally?
Yeah, you know, I've always enjoyed writing poetry. In fact, I wrote a song and sang a song for my wife when we got married. We were high school sweethearts and talked about that a little bit. And so writing has been something that's always been an expression for me, a way for me, to an outlet for me. So writing these songs has been, you know, much of the same. Writing some of those verses in Spanish has been more of a challenge, but I've enjoyed it.
You're also a pastor. Did that play into your ability to rap and have a good flow?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, if you ever get a chance to go on YouTube and Google search Pentecostal preaching, you'll find oftentimes that there is a rhythmic element to it, that there is, you know, preachers will get flowing and they'll get moving and glory be to God. And there's a, again, almost a musicality to it. And so I think that definitely is added into my ability to rock the microphone.
All right, we're going to play a clip from one of the songs you wrote for your students. This one is fittingly called The Wheels on the Bus Go.
Owning when you mess up and learning life's lessons. Set a goal to do better, then keep on pressing. It's impressive how I've seen some kids act on their bus. They use kind words and wouldn't dare to cuss. They walk to and from their seats, not in a major rush. Know how to be a dragon. They are one of us. You have a choice to make on how this goes down. Meanwhile, the wheels on the bus go round and round. Wheels on the bus go.
Maurice, what response did you get from students when you started sharing your raps?
You know, students, particularly at the elementary level, have been incredibly responsive. They've laughed, they've cheered. We do Cortland News out at Cortland Elementary School, and I made a little rap song for the intro to the Cortland News that comes on every morning, and the kids will tell me, Mr. McDavid, I heard your song this morning. And so it's always been a lot of fun. Middle schoolers, they loved it too. High schoolers, they're tougher to please. And so they've always been a little less impressed, but enjoy the idea that there was a dean who would rap for them.
When you work with the younger age group, the kids look up to you. Did this help cement your position as sort of a hero to them, someone who could poke fun at himself?
Yeah, you know, I really think so. I think, you know, this is my first year working with K through fifth graders, and it really has been instrumental, I would say, making the music even has been instrumental in kind of letting the kids know that even though these are serious topics that we're covering, we can have fun with it, you know. And so one of the songs, Kafuti, is something that we still will say, you know, in the hallways, and we'll remind one another, up, Kafuti, you know, you got to keep hands and feet and other objects to yourself. And so, yeah, I would say definitely it has helped build relationships. I've had kids who have come up to me just the other day. I released a new song, performed it for the kids on Friday, and had a young lady beforehand say, hey, Mr. McDavid, did you know I can beatbox? And I said, no, I didn't. So she started beatboxing. I started freestyling right there on the spot. And again, I think that's a memory that hopefully she'll hold on to.
Before you were at Cortland Elementary, you were a high school teacher. You actually taught a few different subjects, including social studies and Spanish. What made you want to make the switch to working with younger kids?
Yeah, so I actually, you know, when I attended Knox College, I was an elementary education major, and so had a major in elementary education with a minor in history and a minor in Spanish, and actually taught middle school a majority of the time. I taught high school as summer school classes, but a majority of my time was spent teaching middle school. And so, you know, having been in between there and having then worked at the high school level as well as dean of students, as well as teaching, I thought, you know, that it would be great to go to the elementary level because I knew already where those students were headed, what they needed in order to get there, and so could help be a part of that transition and working with students who were in those developing stages and making sure, you know, for example, that reading is something that they're going to leave elementary school as readers because it's so important the rest of their educational career.
Maurice, you're from DeKalb originally. You mentioned that you left to go to Knox College in Galesburg. So now you're actually teaching beside some of the teachers that you had when you were growing up. What has that experience been like?
Yeah, it has been really phenomenal. I you know, would say that it was something that I was a little nervous about when I first came into the district, but I have found myself, you know, generally surrounded by professionalism. I will tell you, you know, 4 years ago when I started as a dean of students and I was expected to do evaluations, there were times where I was working with staff members who indeed had taught me or had been teaching while I was at DeKalb High School as a student. And so, you know, just through that professionalism and through relationship building, you know, we made it through and I think and very had very positive experiences. It has been a pleasure to be able to serve in the community that has meant so much to me.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The 21st. I'm Jenna Dooley. My guest is elementary school assistant principal Maurice McDavid. As we've been hearing, Mr. McDavid grew up in the DeKalb area and was a high school teacher before he started writing raps for his students at Cortland Elementary School. Maurice, I want to play another clip for you here and get your reactions. This is actually from a conversation we had on The 21st about the importance of male teachers of color. This is Nate Wall. He's a special education teacher at Yankee Ridge Elementary School in Urbana.
When I walk into a classroom and I see that there's somebody that looks like me, automatically I'm going to feel more connected or feel more comfortable just right away, just off top. When I was in third grade, I had a teacher. She was actually my third and fourth grade teacher. Her name was Shamim Raka. And she cared about the person. She taught me about leadership. She taught me about love. She taught me about Mahatma Gandhi and Dr. King. And I felt connected. I really just identified with her in the fact that we are both people of color, and I wanted to give that back.
Maurice, what do you think the value is in having more teachers who look like the kids they're teaching, particularly when there are so few Black men and Latinos who are public elementary school teachers?
I cannot speak enough to the importance of it. I really think about my personal experience. I did not have my first Black male teacher until I was 21 years old. I was a junior at Knox College and was sitting in a history class and was absolutely enamored. And I thought initially that it was because I love history, but I had been in other history classes and had not felt that. And eventually it hit me that I was looking at Professor Conrad Hamilton, and that it was the very first time I had seen somebody, a black male, who looked like me standing at the front of the classroom. And I could see myself there for the first time. I think that imagery is incredibly important when it comes to what will I be. And so, you know, I share with people often that as a young man, growing up in a hip-hop culture, an athlete culture, those were the things that I wanted to be. And fortunately, I had some people who, you know, were able to stand in front of me in other ways and show me that academia was an option, and that, you know, education was an option, and that law school was an option, and some of those different things. And so I was able to dream beyond, you know, an athlete or an entertainer. And I think even those, you know, the type of athlete or entertainer that you are makes a difference. But nonetheless, I think that is incredibly important for children to see somebody and establish that from the beginning, that, you know, I can be whatever it is that I want to be.
What advice would you have to young men of color who might be interested in becoming a teacher like you?
You know, I would say that it's incredibly important to recognize that when you step into a school building as a black male educator, be aware that you are going to do more than just teach your curriculum, that your very presence in the building is going to have an impact on those who are actually on your class roster and those who are not, and that there will be at times an extra burden that's laid upon you, but that this is where it starts. This is where it begins. It begins with increasing that number, and as we continue to do that, then more and more kids will see that as a viable option. The other piece, you know, that I think really sometimes there's some research out that motivates this idea that negative thoughts about the income keep people of color from going into education. And what I would say to that is it's okay. I mean, you make decent money, you know, you throw coaching on there, or you advise a club as well, and you're going to be okay. You know, I always say my very first year teaching, I recognized that I was, you know, $5,000 above the median income for the city of DeKalb. And so, you know, financially, it's a good situation to be in as well.
We talked about the teacher shortage earlier this week with Golden Apple Foundation President Alan Mather. He mentioned a big part of the shortage is morale. What inspires you every day in those halls?
Yeah, that's a great question. I honestly am inspired initially by that faith walk that I have, where I know I work in a public school setting and I'm not, you know, out actively sharing my faith. I recognize that each and every day as an educator, I have the opportunity to be an example of love, to be an example of faith, to be an example of community. And so those are certainly things that inspire me. I also recognize and really relish the opportunity to show children of all colors and background that this is what a black man looks like. You know, unfortunately, our media still, to this day, at times, you know, the imagery, when we talk about black men, the imagery of black men is not always one that's positive. And I get an opportunity every single day to walk into the building and be a positive image of black men, you know, and really, I relish that opportunity. And so I think those are some of the things that inspire me. The third and final thing that I would say is that I recognize the value of being an independent learner. Creating independent learners means that people can survive regardless of where the economy heads if you know how to learn. Right. So not just that you've learned this select group of information, but you know how to learn. If you can do that, you can survive wherever the economy heads. And so I think that's another piece of inspiration for me.
Maurice McDavid, also known as Mr. McDizzle, is the assistant principal at Cortland Elementary School. We spoke to him from our partner station WNIJ in DeKalb. Mr. McDavid, thanks for taking the time.
No problem. Thank you again for having me.
Somebody hits you, now you have a choice. I have to hit them back. I don't want to hear that noise. No excuses. No boys will be boys. We're talking about children. We ain't playing with toys. No Mr. Potato Head or Stretch Armstrong.
That's all the time we have for today. We're produced by Libby Foster, Anna Casey, and Julian Haida. Eunice Alpazan is our intern. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hartwick is the news director. Special thanks to the band Public Access for our theme music. I'm Jenna Dooley. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening.
Kafuti, keep hands and feet and other objects.